Radio's stpete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from our studio inside Think Tank at Priatech Plaza in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit thinktankconnect.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. thinktankconnect.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are unemployed, underemployed, or changing careers, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will train you how to earn great money while helping people in a career as a recruiter. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com. Now let's go live to Think Tank at Priatech Plaza for Job Talk with Dean Logan.
And thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we are broadcasting today from the beautiful Think Tank offices located on the first floor of the newly named Priatech Plaza. It's a beautiful building and a great location to work and do business in. If you haven't been downtown for a while, you're going to be surprised at the changes and all the growth. It's truly an exciting time for the city. So I want to take this time to thank our new sponsors, Think Tank and Advanced Recruiting Academy, for their support, and all those working at our sponsors, thank you too for all of your help. And for those of you tuning into Job Talk for the first time, you'll learn that it's my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry, so that anyone who's considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them better. Plus, in the process, I get to meet and talk with some very interesting people. Before I introduce my guest, I want to mention that if you want to view the website while listening to the program, you can visit www.cfjblaw.com. You can also follow us live, as we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruitacad and click on our live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle @ARAcademy. And if you're walking by and want to tune in, you can listen to the program live on RadioSt.Pete.com. And if you want to listen again to this and other shows at your leisure, just go to the archive section of the website. I'm very happy to welcome my guest today, David Punzik, a partner with the law firm Carlton Fields Jordan Burt. Welcome to Job Talk, David.
Thank you, Dean. It's nice to be here.
So this is a bit of a homecoming for you, right? You spent many years in this very building.
I did. My old law firm, Carlton Fields Law Firm, was here for 20 years from, about 1994 to about 2014.
Wow. And where did you go? Where are you now?
I practice law in the Tampa office, which is in the West Shore District, right near the International Plaza.
Okay. So not too far.
Not too far.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Okay. Well, good. So Dave, one of the things about you is that you've been here most of your life, and
I was actually born in St. Petersburg, so I didn't fall too far from the apple tree. I think I was born about four blocks from here.
So, really?
Yeah.
Okay. The same place you were at that committee meeting the other night?
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Pretty much, yes.
Isn't that something? Well, I'd really like to take advantage of that and ask you a lot of questions about what it was like in St. Pete and Tampa Bay over the last several decades. I think you grew up as a kid here in the 60s and 70s.
I did. It was a great place to grow up. Not a lot different from today in terms of the physical structure. You know, St. Pete was built out, in the 50s after World War II. So, you know, a lot of the buildings and the roads and so forth are pretty much as they were then. But it's a different community. It's much more sophisticated. It's much more cosmopolitan than it was back then.
Even the roads sometimes still have the brick.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's great.
Augusta Block from Augusta, Georgia. That's right.
Is that what it is?
And there was a developer in St. Pete, in the mid to late 80s, Bay Plaza. They were a big developer here in town, and the principal of that company was a guy named Neil Elsey, and I remember going to watch him talk one day, and he said one of the things that attracted him, he was a big nationwide real estate developer to St. Pete, was the grid road system, you know, north, south, east, west roads, and those were built out, in the 20s to 50s here in town. So
wow.
It was a tremendous asset.
Mm-hmm. And so really, tell us, what was it like growing up here? What was the city like?
Different than it is now. I think in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, downtown St. Pete was kind of the epicenter of town. And, in the early 70s, I guess it was, they built Tyrone Square Mall out on the west side of St. Pete. And I think that was a game changer. In the In the 60s, there was a place called Central Plaza, which is right at 34th Street and Central Avenue. And there was a big, you know, there were a number of department stores there, Wolfie's restaurant and so forth. So that was kind of the town center, I think, in the 50s and 60s. But when the Tyrone Mall opened up, and I think it was 1971, the town kind of went out west more than it is now.
And that's about 15 minutes, really, from downtown?
Yeah.
It's not that far?
Not that far at all, right.
But they didn't have quite. Did they have the same roadways back then? I mean, there's so much development. I don't even know what's new and not necessarily.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they did. And so, you know, I've watched the town grow. I went to Pasadena Elementary, Azalea Junior High, Bogusiega High School. So it was good. I mean, I started off and born into a house in Central St. Pete, but we moved in. Gosh, I think it was 1964 to Park Street South, which is a nice part of town.
So you mentioned the school system. You know, you came out of it and did very well. You know, what are your thoughts about that?
You know, I'm a very strong advocate for the public school system. I have four children, and all four went to public schools here in St. Pete, and all four graduated from St. Pete High, and so that was great. I have three siblings. We all, again, went to public schools and graduated from Bogusiega High School. But there's challenges. There's always challenges. You've read about them in the paper, and it's not an easy fix to make our school systems better.
I think it's a national problem, not just St. Pete or Pinellas County problem, definitely.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the changes in St. Pete. So you used to fish as a kid not too far from here?
Actually, yeah. Well, I would occasionally fish down here, but, you know, I spent a lot of time in West St. Pete, and in the summer months, just every day, we'd go out fishing in Bogusiega Bay, and, gosh, you could catch a redfish, a flounder, and a snook all in a half an hour's time. So it was a pretty cool place to grow
up. I think you can still do that, can't you?
I think you can. You know, and I think the Bays have done a tremendous job with re-cleansing themselves. I know in the 70s and 80s, I think there was a lot more pollution. We have a nonprofit here in town out right near the entrance to Terra Verde called Tampa Bay Watch, and their challenge and job is to purify Tampa Bay. And I've read some really good stuff about the seagrass plantings and so forth, and I think the study said that Tampa Bay is cleaner now than it was 40 years ago or something, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So then you left for a while.
I did.
In the 70s?
I graduated high school in 78 and went up to the University of Florida in Gainesville. And so I was there 78 to 84. Mm-hmm. I went undergrad 78 to 81, got a business degree in 81, and then had three fun-filled weeks between college graduation, starting law school in January of 82, and finished up. And actually, in the small world department, you'll like this. Chris Collinsworth, the NFL announcer now, he was a tremendous football player for the University of Florida. He's a wide receiver. And he graduated, I think, a year before I did, and then he was with the Cincinnati Bengals. Chris Collinsworth was in my entering law school class in January of 82. He didn't come to law school then because the Bengals went to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah.
So I kind of have that going for me.
So. Nice. So anyway, when you came back in the 80s, about 84, what was the city like at that time?
You know, different than it is today. It was not a lot going on downtown St. Pete. I worked really hard as a young lawyer very near here, right near Allen Stadium. It was the building I worked in. It's the Northern Trust building now, but it was called the City Center there. We were on the 12th floor. And, you know, I remember working a lot of nights there and talking to my friends on the phone that had graduated law school, and they were in Miami or Jacksonville or Atlanta or D.C. or New York, and they were working on these big deals. And I wasn't doing too much. I was just kind of ham and egging it a little bit.
Okay, and actually, I think I've been told that the city was actually in a bit of a downward spiral at that time.
Yeah, it was there. I don't know. It just there wasn't a lot going on. It wasn't for lack of trying or leadership. There just wasn't a lot of energy there. Mm-hmm. We had the St. Pete Grand Prix. I think that was about 85, and that was kind of the marquee event for a number of years. But then it went through two or three different incantations before it's become the mm-hmm. kind of mega race that it is now. So
would you say that the 80s were when it really started to turn around, or what
no,
turn, when
I, you
did
know,
it start?
Hard to put your finger on it exactly, Dean, but I would say sometime in the 90s, really.
Okay.
You had a confluence of events where, you know, a lot of the museums started taking off. The baseball franchise was awarded, I think, in 95, 96. I think that was very helpful for the town. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, by serendipity or circumstance, a lot of things just kind of came together to make the town better.
Mm-hmm. And there was that fuss over baseball at that time.
Oh, yeah. No, right. that was a big deal. And, you know, the Tampa folks wanted the team there, and I certainly understand that. It ends up where, you know, the franchise was awarded over here. But mm-hmm. that was a big deal. And you know, there were just a lot of events that kind of came together there.
So tell us about the Florida International Museum. and that started in the from the 90s.
I think. That was in early 90s. It was actually in the old. The building's gone now. Everybody from St. Pete would call it the Moss Brothers Building. It's actually where Duke Energy's headquarters is. That blank field. Mm-hmm. That's where Moss Brothers was. That was built in the late 40s, and a huge building. And you know, Moss Brothers, I think Nationwide went dark, and so Florida International Museum moved in their headquarters there, gosh, early to mid-90s, something like that, and put on a tremendous amount of shows, the Treasures of the Czars and a number of shows that drew 700,000, 800,000 people to downtown. And yep. I think that was transformative for the town, too.
Wow. What stopped that? 700,000 people. That's incredible.
Well, it's funny, and I was chair of FIM, as we call it, Florida National Museum, I think in 2000 or 2001. And, you know, those shows are hard. They're hard financially. Yes, you make a lot of money. You draw a lot of gate. But it's hard to make money at them. And so without a tremendous benefactor base, and there never really was for FIM, in other words, public support, it's tough to stay in business and make a buck. And so over time, it just kind of happened, and then it got melded into St. Pete College and so forth. So
tell us about Beach Drive. That really started taking off. There was an individual that had a lot to do with that.
Yes, Dr. Hamilton, Dr. John Hamilton, is a renowned plastic surgeon here in town, and gosh, he was very, he saw the future in the sense of, you know, starting to aggregate real estate over a many, many year period, and then was fortunate, gosh, 15, 20 years ago to, probably about 15 years ago, to enter into an arrangement with Opus Development, and that resulted in the 300 Beach Drive and 400 Beach Drive towers and the retail that goes along with it, but a tremendous asset to our town and a great family.
Mm-hmm. And around that time, around 2000, didn't we have a pretty good mayor, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mayor Rick Baker, I think, was 2000 when he took over. He had mm-hmm. 2 4-year terms, so he mm-hmm. was the mayor from 2000 to 2008. And just a tremendous guy, a great leader. And, you know, it's funny. One of the quotes that he would say is, St. Pete's a 25-year overnight success story, meaning that the successes that he was never to take credit for it, but, you know, the city, the prosperity that it enjoyed during his term really was set 20 years ago beforehand, which is kind of neat.
Well, great. And so let's move forward to 2015. You know, you have experience now on both sides of the bridge. You know, what's it like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay? And do you see the future encouraging for businesses and talent who are considering a move?
You know, I really do. I'm very optimistic. We all went through the Great Recession. You know, that got a little scary in 2009, 2010 with everybody's stock market holdings collapsing. Mm-hmm. I remember every year I go to a charity fundraiser for PARC, Pennell Association for Retarded Children, and I think it was the 2009 fundraiser. It was out on Park Street, and they were trying to, you know, and everybody was so concerned about their money and not bidding, therefore, on the auction items. And I'll never forget, they bought out a puppy dog, a little yellow Labrador puppy that was 6 weeks or 8 weeks old, mm-hmm. and the dog should have gone for $2,000 or $3,000, and they couldn't get a bid on it because people were so upset about the, you know, kind of the financial situation.
Right.
So, but, you know, things have gotten better, obviously, and I think Florida is always going to be a great attractor for businesses. There's no income tax here. There's good weather here. There's, you know, a lot of leadership that favors business. So I'm very optimistic about the future for mm-hmm. business here in Tampa Bay.
Great. So let's talk a little bit more about you, too. You know, you've served on many boards and committees. You know, I'd like to talk about that because I think it's a wonderful thing. So tell me about some of those, starting with you were the chairman of the chamber.
I was. And yep, that was.
When was that?
That was actually, it's a one-year term, and I actually did back-to-back one-year terms in 2012 and 2013, which was kind of nice. And, you know, when I came back to St. Pete, I worked at a firm here in town, and I had a boss, Roy Harrell, who died in 2006. And Roy was a tremendous civic leader and a great mentor. And, you know, he actually chaired the chamber, I think it was in 86 or 87, when I was a young lawyer back in town. And one of my, you know, kind of back-of-the-mind dreams is someday chair of the chamber. And mm-hmm. so that was, in some ways, the fulfillment of a lifelong dream to do that.
And were there any significant events that happened during that time?
You know, yes. I mean, there always is. And you know, the two that most closely come to mind are the issues about the pier and about baseball and keeping the baseball team here and doing something with the pier. And obviously both are still front and center right now. But they're, right. you know, they're not the sort of issues that are going to be resolved in a – a year or two. It's going to take a while. So.
Right. And you're involved with the Salvador Dali Museum.
I am. I've been on the board, I think about 6 years now for the Dali, and it's been a wonderful experience. I mean, the Dali has moved. They had an old headquarters right along, I think it was First Street there, and so
First and what?
It's south. It would be First Street South, right on the water there. Okay. But it was kind of a plebeian building. It wasn't particularly nice, and so they moved into their new headquarters, a couple of years ago. I think it's been 2011, I think it was. So.
And they designed that on purpose.
They did, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a cool building is, you know, they like to say, you can see it from 10,000 feet and recognize it.
So I also understand you limited out of after 12 years of the DRC.
Yes, that's
so what does
city,
that stand for?
DRC stands for Development Review Commission. It used to be the EDC. And so anyhow, that's the city commission that basically approves site plans when somebody wants to build or construct a larger scale development, not a house, but like a building or something like that. And it does more than that, site plan approvals and street vacations and so forth. But it's a very active city commission, and you know, when I got on, I guess it was about 2003 or so. Boy, there was about a 5-year run where, you know, there were a lot of developments that were approved. Now, many of them weren't built, and so they kind of came and went. But it was exciting. 05, 06, 07, with the real estate run up to approve, we probably approved 15, 20 story buildings. You know,
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Jeez, and you're also involved with St. Anthony's Foundation. What do you do for them?
I am. The foundation basically is the fundraising arm, if you will, for the hospital, and it supports the hospital. So our mission is to raise as much funds as we can, and then basically figure out the best way to allocate those funds and use those funds for the benefit of St. Anthony's and its patients.
So also, I understand you were involved with the Heroes of St. Pete Police.
Yes.
That's the Demon's Landing.
Yeah, there's a memorial to our fallen officers, and out on Demon's Landing, that was constructed about 3 years ago also. It's a really cool thing. If you haven't been out there, it's open.
Where is that?
Just out on Demon's Landing, which is you take First Avenue South all the way as far as you can go, right past Allang Stadium, keep going over that little bridge. It's all open to the public. There's no charge. Mm-hmm. And all the way, just follow it all the way out to the end to Tampa Bay, and there's a memorial there for the, I think it's 16 fallen St. Pete police officers. It's a beautiful memorial it's very heartwarming to be out there.
Great. You're also you're involved with something called the Golden Triangle. I find that very interesting. Tell us about that.
Well, a lot of people give me a hard time because that's also a janitorial service, so we try not to talk about it too much. But the Golden Triangle, all kidding aside, is a cool organization. I think it goes back 40 years or so to, you know, the differences between the three communities, business communities, Tampa, St. Pete, and Clearwater, and leaders many, many decades ago said, you know what? Let's get to know these folks. Let's increase the peace. And so it's just a nonprofit, strictly social organization. We get together three times a year, once in St. Pete, once in Tampa, once in Clearwater, to see kind of the neatest, coolest thing in town. And it's really been fun to be a part of that organization.
Mm-hmm. And also you are involved with the CEO Council of Tampa Bay.
CEO Council of Tampa Bay, another nonprofit, and the goal of the mission of that organization is just to help CEOs in the Tampa Bay, from publicly traded companies to smaller CEOs, you know, what are best practices? How do we deal with these issues? And so it's been, I'm newly on that board. I've been on the board about a year, and it's been really cool to learn the different perspectives.
Great. My guest today is David Punzek, a partner at the law firm Carlton Fields Jordan Burt. And David, let's talk about your law firm. How many lawyers do you have, and where are your offices?
We have about 375 lawyers, so we're a pretty big outfit. We have 5 offices in Florida. Let me see if I can get this right. It's Miami, West Palm Beach, Tampa, Orlando, and Tallahassee. That's 5, so we're good there. Atlanta, Washington, D.C., New York City, Hartford, Connecticut, and Los Angeles.
And that L.A. office you just opened up pretty recently.
About a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that.
Was that with the merger as part of that, or was that before?
That was actually kind of freestanding. We did a merger that we can talk about in a minute. That was January 1st, 2 years ago, this January.
Yeah.
So,
Yep. Well, great. And you know, let's talk about that merger, basically. When did it take place, and what was the other firm?
Jordan Burt was the other firm, a very sophisticated and renowned firm. They had offices in Miami, and Washington, D.C., were their two primary offices. And it's been a really good fit. I mean, Carlton Fields has been in business 115 years now.
I know.
Base started in Tampa, which is kind of cool. You know, we get hit on a lot of law firms do to merge or consolidate or do these sorts of things. And we've been very careful not to jump or to do anything precipitous. And, you know, shifting gears a little bit, for many years we wanted an office in Miami, and we ended up merging with a smaller firm there called Popham Hake. They were based in Minneapolis. And so we're really into culture. I think that's so important in business, and particularly for professionals like law firms, where you really have to be a good fit. And so the Jordan Burt merger has been a great fit for us. They do things that we didn't do, and vice versa. So
yeah, I was going to say, what kind of overlapping practice did they bring, or new practice did they bring?
They did. They're a tremendous financial services regulatory type firm. We are now, I should say. And one of their expert areas is class action defense. We do that very well too together. Great. But together, there's a tremendous amount of synergy there.
You know, your firm does a lot of work in different industries, and I'd like to talk about, in general, you know, who'd benefit from using your services. And so let's start with the construction industry. It looks like you have a real robust construction practice.
Yeah, I think that is probably our marquee practice area, one of the many that we have. But I mean,
who do you represent?
A lot of, you know, we represent landowners, we represent contractors, we represent builders.
So both sides?
We do both sides. Yeah, okay. We do. But, you know, I mean, Carlton Fields grew up in Florida as Florida grew, and so I think one of the things that's natural in Florida is construction and real estate development, and so that is an area that we're really good in.
And, you know, what is your specialty in general?
I do mergers and acquisitions and finance, so if you want to buy or sell a shopping center, I'm your man. I'm kidding, of course. I mean, I have a pretty broad practice here. I do lots of different things, leasing and real estate development and corporate work, and it really runs the gamut.
Right. And so you mentioned earlier about class action defense as being part of the practice that you supply those services. So tell us about that. What does it mean? And, you know, tell us about that practice.
You know, I'm a transactional lawyer, and class action defense is litigation, so I know just enough to be dangerous. But really, you know, there are, of course, legitimate class action, lawsuits that are filed out there that, but for a class action regime, the people that are aggrieved wouldn't have a chance to see their day in court. So I understand that, and I get that. But there's a lot of class actions that are kind of bogus, you know. And so we defend a lot of people that are sued in that way. And so the trick really is to what's called defeat class certification. So if you can basically, before the case gets going too far, have the judge rule that, you know, look, there's not a proper class here, then that's most of the ballgame in that area.
Okay. And what do you do in healthcare?
You know, we do a lot of work for hospitals, and I think a number of the hospital corporations here in the Tampa Bay and really throughout Florida entirely. We do mostly transactional work for them, buying and selling practices and so forth.
Okay. I mean, so a hospital would come to you in what kind of circumstance, though?
Well, maybe if they were having trouble with Medicare or Medicaid billing, we can help, you know, review the laws and regulations and try to set them right there. And just any number of things. It's a wide open practice. And you know, with Obamacare, with the Affordable Care Act, we were very helpful in helping figure out the ins and outs and so forth. And that's an ongoing process.
Right. It's changing all the time, too.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Yep.
Okay. And you mentioned insurance and regulatory.
Right. You know, that's a burgeoning area of the law that there's just, you know, the Consumer Financial Protections Board. And, you know, I taught business law last year for a semester at USF St. Pete just to give it a try. And it was really cool. But one of my takeaways from learning what you have to teach, you know, is that, you know, there's something called the fourth state. There's, you know, the three branches of government, the judicial. Let me see if I can get this right. Executive, judicial, and legislative, right? Those are the three branches. But there's a fourth branch that nobody talks about, and it's regulatory. And if you think about the number of regulations that might be promulgated by the Environmental Protection Agency or the SEC or whatever, it's a tremendous amount of lawyering that has to be done to figure out those regulations.
Right.
So we're really good at figuring them out and advising clients on that.
I'm speaking with David Punzek, a partner at the law firm of Carlton Fields, Jordan Burt. And David, I see your firm is also involved in real estate, and you even have some participation in the big project across the street here.
Yeah, we've been working that. That's the we like to call it the Cheese Grater building in downtown St. Pete. So we've been working on that a little while. And
is that what it's going to look like?
Hopefully not. Hopefully there'll be something new coming there down the road, but we'll see.
Okay. So tell us also about your firm's commitment to pro bono legal services, and if you would, for those that don't know what pro bono means, tell them what that means.
Yeah, pro bono is it's a lot of people kind of confuse the term, but basically it's providing legal services to those that cannot afford legal services. And mm-hmm. and so there are regulations that go along with that. But basically for people or businesses that just don't have enough money for a lawyer, we provide them. Now, we don't do criminal work. That's not – we do white collar, but not, you know, the pro bono for criminals. But
good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, right. But, we try to encourage all of our lawyers to provide 50 hours a year of pro bono legal services.
Wow.
And we don't always hit that mark, but we're pretty good. And you know, what I'd like to say is the firm is very encouraging in that regard. In other words, they talk the talk. It's not just, you know, wink, wink, you don't really need to do this. No, they strongly encourage it. We have basically a partner that spends almost all of her time on the pro bono stuff and making sure that we do that. And in fact, and I didn't tell you this, in 2006, I won the American Bar Association Pro Bono Service Award, which
Great.
Was kind of cool, yeah.
And how did you earn that?
Good question. I had a client here at the time called the Florida Community Loan Fund, and they're a nonprofit lender that specializes in making loans to other nonprofit lenders. And so I, over the course of maybe 10 years before 2006, had provided a good bit of pro bono legal services, helping them review their loan documents and their contracts and representing them when they would make loans and so forth. And through that work, I was nominated to win the award and actually won it, which is really cool. It's a highlight of my life, really.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So also tell us about your firm's commitment to the community service. And is that other than pro bono services?
It is. It is. That's, you know, that's serving on, like, the boards that you just talked about and mm-hmm. so forth. And you know, I think that's every lawyer's obligation is to do that, right, to get out and mm-hmm. to serve on nonprofit boards. And back to Roy Harrell, my old boss, he said, you know, when you get on a board, strive for leadership and ultimately try to lead that board, be the chairperson of that board. And, mm-hmm. and that's something that I've taken with me. And I think I'm on four or five nonprofit boards right now, and I just love it. It's great. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that you discover as a lawyer when you get out is you know, people accord you kind of extra respect because you're a lawyer. You may not know anything more than anybody else does, but they always turn to you when questions come up on board issues or questions, and mm-hmm. it's helpful. I'm reminded of a quote by Jerry Seinfeld about lawyers. He said, I'll get this wrong, but it's kind of like lawyers are the only one, the game of Monopoly, right? And so in the back of the box has all the rules. Lawyers are the ones that have all the rules, right? So.
Okay. And so, you know, this is Job Talk. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about how your firm recruits and hires new associates. What is that process?
Well, it's pretty formalized and stylized. We have a summer program. When I was in, they used to call them summer law clerks, and now they're called summer associates. So we bring in folks. We recruit at a lot of the big law schools throughout the country and invite a number of folks, usually, 8 to 15 people down and in different offices. And so they spend the summer working with us. Do they like us? Do we like them? Is it a good fit culturally for us? And usually that's a good breeding ground for offers that we make to the young lawyers.
Mm-hmm. And what do you look for in those associate level people?
You know, probably depends. I'm not like
pedigree, obviously.
Yeah, pedigree. I think that's helpful. Good grades are helpful. You don't get mm-hmm. in the door without that and some level of achievement. And mm-hmm. You know, I think it's honesty, it's candor, it's hard work, all the good qualities that you like to see.
Mm-hmm. There's also looking at your website. I really enjoy reading what just the culture of that company and mm-hmm. just what you do and just what you believe in. And just advice, you give advice to new associates how to really do well within your firm. And those are the same values. I'm going to see if I can take some of that language and modify and put it on our website, because it's exactly how I feel as well.
And it's not just stuff on the computer. It's not just on the website. I mean, we I've been there 21 years now, and that's just the way the company is, the mm-hmm. law firm is. It's great. Mm-hmm. So
let's talk about how you recruit and hire lateral partners too.
Right, right. That's different because those are lawyers that have been out for, you know, 5 years to 50 years, let's say. And so, first of all, they have to have a great reputation. They have to be leaders in their area of law or in the community. And obviously, a book of business is a plus too. But it's mostly need based. In other words, if one of our office didn't have a M&A lawyer and there was a really good lawyer that specialized in M&A that was of good background, good cultural fit, then, you know, we'd obviously talk to that lawyer and bring her in if we could.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And so tell me just a little bit more about that process, though. Is there, like you talk about book of business, is there a limit or a minimal amount of in the partner level,
you know,
and how does that work in a law firm too?
It's funny. These are all excellent questions. It's different, I think, firm to firm. I was reading through the ABA journal the other day, and that kind of issue was being discussed. And somehow, you know, in the old days, if you had a book of business of $250,000, meaning every year that you had billings and collections of that amount, that was the litmus test for being a partner. And in the article I was reading in the ABA journal the other day, the new litmus test is $400,000 or $500,000. Partner should have that amount of business to, you know, be able to carry around. And frankly, Dean, in the old days, that they used to say a partner should keep himself or herself busy and two associate lawyers. And, the business has changed. It's not, we don't need every partner or lawyer to have that amount of business. We have finders, minders, and grinders, as they say, people that find clients, people that grind and do the work, and people that mind the client and make sure everything's going well with them.
That's great. My guest today is David Punzik, a partner at the law firm of Carlton Fields Jordan Burt. And David, we only have time for a few more questions. I want to thank you very much for being here.
Absolutely.
And this brings us to the interview tip of the week. And so if somebody wants to apply for a position at your firm, what one piece of advice would you give them?
You know, that's a great question. I think from my personal viewpoint or perspective is be honest. Don't try to make yourself out something that you're not. And, you know, with honesty and candor, I guess, you know, I have interviewed plenty of people over my life. And when I ask a direct question, answer the direct question. Just, you know, it's my Midwestern mentality. Maybe that's it. But answer the question. Don't evade. Don't try to, you know, make yourself seem better than you are. Just and if you don't have a good answer, you don't have a great response, just say so. You know, that's my tip.
OK, that's great advice, David. Thank you. And I understand that. And just one more thing. I understand you have an event coming up in March that's an in-house counsel forum.
We do. My boss, Gary Sasso, started doing this about 7 or 8 years ago, and it's kind of brilliant. And we will bring in the top 50, more or less, general counsels of our top 50 clients. In other words, bring the in-house lawyer for the top 50 clients. We do it at the Ritz-Carlton, typically over in Orlando. I think that's where we're doing it this year in March. And, you know, we talk about everything under the sun. We talk about best practices. We talk about efficiencies. We talk about class actions. We just talk about all the relevant legal topics. And it's not just a bunch of lawyers talking. Us, in other words, we spend time beforehand getting together with our clients. And for the most part, the clients end up leading the seminars or the discussions, too. So it's a really, really cool idea. It really is.
Sounds great. Now, listen, David, I really want to thank you for being here today. It went by very fast, a lot faster than I thought.
Sure did, actually. Gosh.
And so if anyone wants to learn more about the services provided at your firm, how can they do that?
Just the website, www.cfjblaw.com. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have the main number in Tampa is 813-223-7000 for a phone number.
That's perfect. Yeah. All right, Dave. Well, thanks a million for being here. And keep us in your thoughts and send us an update. And anything else you need to you want to let our listeners know about, please keep in touch with us.
I sure will. And thank you very much. And happy Thanksgiving to you.
And same to you, David. And that was my guest, David Punzik, the partner at law firm of Carlton Fields Jordan Burt. So if you're looking for a representation from a law firm with an excellent reputation, check out their website and contact them definitely. And now it's time for the Job Talk alumni updates. Our friends at Think Tank will have some exciting news to share with you next Monday. So be on the lookout for the press release. I can't say much about it right now, but you'll hear more about that on the program next week as well. And Mark Guthrie, the founder of Create3D and Biz360, is looking for a part-time writer. So if you have the skills and are looking for some part-time work, please reach out to Mark at create-3d.biz. That's create-3d.biz. And the shout-outs today go to, on a sad note, my dear friend Janet Wright, My thoughts and prayers are with you. Stay strong. And to Tiffany and Natalie, it was so great to hear from you. And to Emily, Zach, and their entire family, thanks for the invitation. I'm really looking forward to seeing you over the holidays. And to everyone listening, I want to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. And I want to thank you all for listening to Job Talk and for tuning in to RadioSt.Pete.com. I hope you've had some time to check out the great music on the site. It features great local musicians here, too. So new shows are in production all the time. As the station content keeps getting better and better, and you can choose your favorite style of music 24 hours a day now, including pop, country, jazz, and classical. Other interesting programs you might enjoy are the live broadcasts, like the Suncoast Tiger Bay Luncheon on the 9th. It's going to be a very exciting program. You want to listen to that. And also, we're going to be sure to listen to Will Kuntz as he hosts the Homemade Broadcast at 6 p.m. on Sundays. And treat yourself to the Indie Circuit with Mao. That airs on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Toriano Parker has a new program he calls Hard Hitting Radio. It airs on Thursdays. That's tomorrow at 12:15. Not sure if he's going to be on Thanksgiving, but definitely check him out. You can also look for his broadcasts on YouTube. And we have a new addition to the Radio St. Pete lineup. She's been here about a month and a half now. She'll be contributing interviews centered on the local music scene as well as trying her hand at some live broadcasting and recorded interviews from First Friday, the Saturday Morning Market, and a lot more. That's Haley J. And be sure to check out the website often, see what's new. You can download the free app, listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. So check it out. That's RadioSt.Pete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to the program, please tell your friends. Let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests on Job Talk. You can send those suggestions to me at DeanLogan@RadioSt.Pete.com. And I do look forward to your comments and suggestions. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I want to give special thanks to Joe B., Zooey, Kat, Joe, Thomas, Andy, Chastity, Adriana, Kim, Jeff, Kevin, Aaron, and Kevin. It's great to be part of your family and team, and you've all been very welcoming and supportive. So along with my family and friends, it's what I'm most thankful for this year. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did, too. So thanks for listening. Until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and broadcast live from Think Tank at Priatech Plaza in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit ThinkTankConnect.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. ThinkTankConnect.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you're unemployed, underemployed, or changing careers, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will train you how to earn great money while helping people in a career as a recruiter. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com. Listen again next week at this same time for Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from Think Tank at Priatech Plaza in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSt.Pete.com.